Welcome back to another episode that's really important in today's society. I am Derek Mata.
And I am Andrew Goody, and we are proud of you. This is a parenting dadvice podcast. We talk about life as dads, the ups, the downs, the realities, and go through all the craziness. It's not professional advice. It is a support group at best. Today, we have somebody very close to my heart, my second father, Randy Malinsky, of Dad Skies fame. Randy, welcome to the group.
Thank you, guys. It's good to be here.
So, Randy and I have known each other for a little over a decade now. His daughter and I have been very good friends since college, and she is a professional cosplayer. And, she goes by Amber Skies. You may be familiar with her work online. And Randy, being her dad, is Dad Skies. And he is the con dad at every convention and the father to all. So we wanted to have him on here because, you know, in the modern world, parenting is a lot more complicated than it used to be, right? When I was a kid, you got kicked out the door when the sun came up. You came back when the streetlights came on. What happened in between was a mystery. Somewhere my mom is screaming that she watched me a lot more closely than that. But but in the modern world of internet safety and, you know, cell phones and everything, it's a very different environment. And Randy has a really unique perspective, being somebody who supports a cosplayer. So tell us a little bit about, first tell us about yourself. I obviously know your family situation, but give us a rundown.
My daughter, Amber, she got interested in, during college when she met you, dressing up. It was a Halloween, was her first costuming that she really went all out. And she did Sergeant Calhoun from Wreck-It Ralph. And we then proceeded to go to San Diego Comic-Con. And with that, she, standing in the aisles, we're walking in as a family, and we're just guests. And lines of people stood 30 people deep to take her picture with her. And we're like, oh, okay, fabulous, thank you. And we're standing in front of this booth, and we're there, and we're taking pictures, and we turn around, we're like, oh, we're so sorry, we're blocking you. And this gentleman does the voice of Kim Possible's villain. And we're like, oh, wow, that's very cool. And at this time, she was dressed up as Kim Possible there. And we're like, oh, yeah, that's great. He's like, yeah, yeah, that's me. And we turn and we're like, oh, that's John DiMaggio. Oh, hello, sorry. And it's like, no, come on over. So he greets us and just very friendly. That was the amazing thing about a lot of these people. They're just, and we start chatting for a good 15, 20 minutes, taking selfies and stuff. And we're like, he's like, you need to go over and meet Steve Silvers. He's the creator of Kim Possible. He's like three aisles down. You got to go by and stop by. So absolutely, we said. So we run over there and he sees Amber coming up and just comes out of the booth with his wife and greets her and just as exuberant as can be and chats up and just it talks to her. And she's like, I'm just starting. This is something so much fun. And he gives her an original watercolor and signs it to Amber. Thanks for keeping Kim alive, and hands it to her. And we're like, cosplay is the greatest thing in the world. We're like, famous people talk to you and give you things. So that was the start of it all. It was pretty amazing, and it's been a complete ride ever since. Background of me, I'm an artist, grew up as an artist. My mother was an artist. Amber is an artist. She is the best of all of us when it comes to that. So for me, this is what I love to do. I was that 1980 kid playing D&D, but I was the jock nerd. So I did all the sports. Like he said, we were outdoors playing all day long and came home eventually. And when it, you know, was dinner time. But I was the gaming kid. I was the youngest. So I had an older brother that was the real drum major nerd, if you want to call him that, when it came to that. He was the one who introduced me into board games. And back then it was the little chit based tactical tank battle games where you had all the little squares that were the tanks and the infantries, and you'd spend weeks playing a game.
Yeah. And it was distinctly not the thing that the cool kids do the way it is now.
So that got me going. And then being an artist, I was already painting and building everything I could find. I was that little boy in 1978 that got the Star Wars toys in the mail in February for the Christmas present that was supposed to be in December. And I immediately took every piece of foam and cardboard and built Tatooine. And I had the cantina and I had my 12 figures, and we played, you know, for hours. And my wife, my mother would come by and she'd hear all these voices and she'd be like, "Who are you playing with?" And I'd be just in there by myself, you know, creating the worlds. So that's always been me in that respect. And just living through Amber now is me never having to grow up. So
nice.
You know, I've said that since the day Alana was born. You know, I have a Peter Pan affinity. You of all people know that. But I have never wanted to grow up. I've always refused to grow up and to be a lost boy forever. Having a kid has really, really kept me young. It has made me feel every year of my age as I chase her around. but it has kept my heart and my mind.
You will always be mentally 14. Yeah,
exactly. I am
58, mentally great time. Absolutely. Yeah. 12. My wife just shouted 12 from the house.
So, you know, there, especially, you know, growing up with, you know, a little bit more of an open environment, was internet security something that, you know, when Amber's career started taking off, when her cosplay career, I should say, started taking off, and she started, you know, popping up on Reddit, and she started her Patreon account and that kind of stuff. Were you hesitant? Did you have any fears about, you know, that exposure?
I did not. More for the ignorance of it, because okay. I don't have a Facebook. I have an Instagram. I have 3 followers: my 2 daughters and my daughter-in-law. So, you know, that's why I had it, because I would Google them before that. And they're like, "Dad, seriously, we're going to make you an account so you can at least log into us." So I'm like, okay. So that's never been, like, computers for me are for playing video games. Same with phones. I don't know what other use they have. So that's why I took my wife to set this up tonight. And literally that's what I can do. So for me, yes, in that, we were always aware with her when she started cosplay about her name and exposure and with people, because met a lot of nice people. And before there were really boundaries in cosplay, there was that period where there was the, you know, touching is no touch, the, you know, asked to take a picture, that kind of, there was that gray area for a while where it was a little creepy. And so that was part of why also I wanted to be there for her. I'm her handler, helped her, you know, make sure she had water, make sure she had a chance to take a break, go to the bathroom, whatever it needed to be done, just to be around just in case. Never did she have a really scary incident or anything, which I'm very, very grateful for. But you never know. So that's why I became that dad for the other girls too, that befriended Amber, and they'd leave their handbag with me so they know it was safe, or if they needed something, I made sure they were okay, you know, or just, you know, followed them to the restroom or wherever that needed to be done. So that was kind of where I stepped up, because I felt there's no reason that shouldn't be for everybody. So I kind of took on that dad role willingly.
It comes so naturally to you, right? I mean,
yeah,
I knew you for like 3 days before I started calling you dad. So
yeah. Well, and I prefer it. Even the grown people older than me, when they meet me, they'll say, "Oh, this is dad's guys," and I'll tell them my name, but I'm like, just call me dad.
Yeah.
So, you know, It's yeah.
Yeah, well, and that's, I mean, live events, I hadn't even really considered that side of it, and that's probably the scariest part, especially as you said, you know, the convention scene and the cosplay scene has grown a lot, especially over the last, I'd say, 5 years or so, to be a much more consent first environment.
Yes, absolutely.
But prior to that, I mean, when Amber first started, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, she was at a convention dressed as Kim Possible and somebody dressed as Dr. Draken came and picked her up or something, which is obviously not
there are people out there that don't quite get the common, you know, yeah, I'm bad about that in my own way. Amber will say, like, I'll start a conversation and they're like, Dad, they have no idea what context you're coming from. You have to approach that from, they have no idea who you are. Don't jump in. So, you know, boundaries. Yeah, exactly.
For sure. So, Derek, I see you shaking your head. What questions do you have over here?
You know, I had questions, but like as you two keep just going back and forth, like my questions are being answered, because my big thing is like the one question I was going to ask is, at any point have you, I don't want to say been afraid, but you know,
I been lost
afraid
her,
for her.
I lost her once at a show, and it was here in Arizona. It was many years ago. Amazing Arizona. It was at the Cardinal Stadium. We were standing there talking, and Amber was with me, and this gentleman come up and asked to take her picture of her. He had been talking to this people at this booth. I was talking with the people at the booth. They went to go take pictures. And I said something to them after the fact that, oh yeah, that gentleman, they're like, oh, we don't know who he is. And I'm like, oh, I don't know who he is either. And so I went and found her. It had been 10, 15 minutes. All was well. But he slightly autistic, so there was just that slight awkwardness. Totally fine gentleman, known him now for years. But she's like, "You left me," and I'm like, "I'm sorry. I thought they knew who he was, and they thought I knew who he was, and we had no idea." But you know, and thankfully, all was fine. You know, and she wasn't very far away. But that was I would be the closest thing to, you know, her being in an awkward position, just because I wasn't standing there next to her, which I always make a point to do.
Yeah. You know, and Derek and I talked about it a little bit. We touched on the concept of, and I hate the term stranger danger, and we'll get into why, but we touched a little bit on stranger danger in our Halloween episode that we did. And I mentioned, you know, my daughter is almost 2 years old. And so we're just starting to teach those elements of, where those boundaries of, you know, she's a fairly introverted, but she also has my everybody's my friend, so let's be nice to them
experience. Amber was that way when she was in the video also, so yeah.
And the thing that I don't like about stranger danger is the idea of stranger danger is be afraid of anybody who you don't know, right? That's the core concept of stranger danger. And that makes things like conventions a bummer, because there are so many cool people and wonderful, amazing people there that I don't want her to be afraid of. And so what we're teaching her is not stranger danger. It's how to identify strange behaviors, right? And so like you're talking about, I know this person, green flag. I don't know this person, red flag. This or person caution. Is being nice to me, green flag. This person is being a little too nice to me, possibly a red flag, you know? Just identifying those pieces, you know, how do you navigate that as somebody who, not only your daughter, but your daughter and you and, you know, your daughter-in-law and now your youngest daughter as well is going to some of these conventions with Amber. You know, how do you kind of navigate that with, do you, as the de facto dad, do you set some ground rules of, hey, if anybody comes up to you in a Satan cosplay?
No, because they're, I mean, you're all acting, you're all pretending, you're all playing. So I've never judged any of that kind of thing. The kids are better about it than me. I'm the bad puppy. I'm the one that they kind of like, Dad, no, that's stranger danger for you. You know, I would be the one that would wander into the van, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, at San Diego Comic-Con, somebody tells you that they have dice in a van. How do you not get into the
Well, yeah, of a kind. Are they sparkly? Yeah, exactly. No, so no, I have never had where that was something. I mean, like I said, the girls they're all sharp enough and know, thankfully. And I mean, it wasn't like you where you've got a young one you're bringing up. Mine was a grown adult. So, I mean, I already had been through college. So she's already determined for her who was creepy, who is not, you know. And in my family, it's a large stretch for creepy. You know, we are pretty open armed to all of the actors and theater people.
Well, and I think that's what for me as a dad who, you know, I was a theater kid, I was a D&D nerd, like I seek out adventure, right? Like exactly. I want to go meet everybody and make friends. I'm super extroverted. And so for me, it's, you know, how do I teach my daughter that line where strangers are just friends that you haven't met yet? Everybody can be wonderful and amazing, and most people are genuinely good.
And
but
like
also
you said,
there are some bad people in the world,
right,
and you
right.
need to be
Look
able to
for
recognize
those
the difference.
Exactly. Look for those things, the too nice or the, yeah, exactly. That definitely is, you know, something that, you know, I would, if I ever get a granddaughter or a grandchild, would do the same. Yeah.
Other than mine, you mean?
Yes, yes, yes.
And awesome. See, it's funny that you two are very similar, and I am completely on the other side of this. Like, and it might have started from, you know, growing up, they teach the stranger danger, like don't trust anybody. So my whole life, I have not trusted a single person. So like, when it comes to internet things, like let's take my oldest daughter, almost 13 years old. Like, I think everything she's looking at is bad, and she's going to teach her the wrong thing. And you know, my youngest, like, we don't want them to be involved in anything internet related, but like, unfortunately, me and my wife cannot avoid that. That is the...
Yeah, not with today's society.
Exactly. So it's
that
like...
That is part of your everyday life.
Exactly. So how do I teach my kids that, like you said, like, not everybody's bad. Like, just, you have to go and find those people. Like, what
gotta
are those
kind
right
of trust
because...
them to know when they've gone somewhere that, oh, this is not something mom and dad will like. I better not, you know, that kind
but
of
when thing. I don't like anything, like they're going to see the same thing. so I guess like that's my issue is like, how would somebody similar to myself teach, you know, people whose daughters want to do children. I don't even say want to daughters. Cause I know there are a lot of,
lot
of males
absolutely.
Who do cosplay too. Like
my son would have been he's the one in the middle. My son, Brandon, he was between the two girls, and he was the one that was on the computer 24/7. He played competitive Dota at 2 or 3 in the morning, and I'd hear him yelling at people, you know, cussing them out. I'm like, don't make the grown men cry. Stop that, son. That's not nice. You know? But he would be the one that we'd get the information from Cox saying, hi, we see that you downloaded Deadpool, that movie that's coming out next week. We'd like you to not do, and I'd have to walk into his room and go, son, please delete Deadpool that comes out next week. Okay, Dad, you know, so yeah.
It's like, let me watch it first and then I'll delete it.
So yeah, I'm out here going, how old does my daughter need to be before I teach her about VPNs?
But you know, I really enjoy cosplayers because of the imagination they have. Like, kids these days are losing that imagination. So like, the fact that they can create all these things, it's amazing to me.
We try to definitely inspire those young kids coming in, like you're saying. They're shy, quiet introverts, and this is like their window to open at those. So my daughter and I, when we'll do panels and stuff, we'll really encourage them that it doesn't matter how good you are now. Enjoy yourself, do your best, and just love what you're doing, and you will meet more people like you, and it helps them to grow. And we have many now over the years that have come back and said, you know, you were our inspiration initially, which is kind of nice, like what Andrew's saying now. I had a dad several years back go, I'm now going to chew with my daughter like you, or with your daughter, I'm going to help her, you know, go with her career and whatever it be, but be part of it in that respect. And it was very touching to have somebody come to me that I had no idea who they were and say that. And it's like, that's nice to see that I'm affecting other people without trying to. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and for our viewers who haven't seen you at a con, Randy is, he is a roadie. He is the booth merchant. He is the bodyguard.
I'm the booth babe.
He's the booth babe. And really, like, if you take Khan out of that, you're caring, you're supportive, and you're protective. That's a dad. Like, yeah, you're just taking being me. Care of
exactly.
Your,
yeah.
You're taking care I'm of your kids and other people's kids and other people's kids because you continue to take more and more kids under your wings.
Yeah. Yeah. But like I tell everybody, I'm like, I don't want to grow up. So this is my way of staying a kid and doing the things I love. You know, I didn't have this kind of cosplay. I mean, yeah, there were Comic Cons and backstory, if you don't mind me jumping off topic. 1978, my older brother helped start the first Comic Con here in Arizona, and we drove to the airport in our station wagon and picked up William Shatner, Leonard Nimoy, George Takei, all of them, to bring them to the Phoenix Comic Con here. And they drank at Minder Binders back in the days. I was too young, but he was 17, 18, 19 then, which is all you needed to be. So I've been around it, but it isn't like what it is now. And I love it. It's working 50 hours on a weekend is a thrill. It's not a job, you know? So I love it.
The you know, you mentioned it's not what it was now. Like the cosplay scene, just being a nerd has become a mainstream thing. And that sounds like such a hipster epitaph, but like, I remember when I was 14 years old and started playing Dungeons and Dragons, and it was like the nerdy thing where, like, if you played Dungeons and Dragons, you either needed to also know how to run or also know how to fight. And so, like, I boxed and played Dungeons and Dragons. and you're 20 years ahead of me in that. And so, like, that watching that culture develop where, like, now the cool kids are those tabletop nerds, right? Like the things that were so outlying when I was in school and were, I mean, the Satan has come to the neighborhood because somebody bought a D&D starter set of 20 years prior to my generation. Like it's so cool watching that grow and develop. And I'm sure for you getting to revisit that and kind of, I don't want to say relive your glory days, but kind of relive some of that childhood nerdiness without any of the baggage that came with it when we were kids, right? Getting to be the cool guy who plays D&D, getting to be the cool dad whose daughter dresses up and goes to conventions. Like,
yeah, I love talking about it. It's so much fun to brag about her. And growing up, Amber was 7, Brandon was 4, and Courtney, my youngest at that time, was 18 months when I opened up the board game store, when I was selling the actual board games and miniatures in the gaming store, which I had for 7 years. So, I mean, that was an amazing time and a lot of fun. So, but that was that little bit of, like you say, grabbing some of that of my childhood and hanging on to it. So, but to this day, it's fun. Being 20 years later, I have kids that were 14 to 20 then that I now still know or run across out of the blue, and they'll recognize me. And they're like, I came to your store and I had so much fun and I appreciated that, you know, you could come in there. And I made a point when I had my store that it was, again, a same kind of that safe place. The parents felt good. They could leave their kids here. They knew they were safe and they would have, I made sure the kids had fun. They played games. They were competitive, but it wasn't about beating everybody, and you know, it was like let the Wookiee win kind of attitude is what I had to kids and stuff. You know, I'm like, are you having fun? But then who cares whether you win or not? You know, you're here with your buddy, and this moment is now. So you know,
I think that's the thing that really drew me to the nerd community is that acceptance, right? And there's a level of acceptance in all culture, and I don't want this podcast to turn into a nerds are the best. They are. I don't want this to turn into a nerds are the best podcast, but like there, when I was in school, there was this thing of like, if you were a jock, you were part of the crew, right? If you were on the football team loved you. If you were on the basketball team loved you. If you had a heartbeat, the theater kids would welcome you, right? If you had any instrument, no matter how poorly you played an instrument, the band kids would be your friend. And the cosplay community, I mean, there are bad apples on every tree, but the overwhelming majority of people at any con that you go to are just the salt of the earth, the best open humans arms, you'll ever meet, the happiest, most upbeat, 14 years old at heart. I love that. Like, just so glad that you came to enjoy your thing, and would love nothing more to hear about your current hyperfixation while they tell you about their current hyperfixation.
Exactly. Yeah.
So from the sounds of it, is I need to go to a Comic-Con and just like immerse myself in, because I used to be a huge nerd. Like because of the time we grew up in Goody, like nerds weren't those cool kids, and I always wanted to be the cool kid, but I never could be, like, and so I kind of lost that part of myself. And like, look at the two of you, smiles and happiness is all these stories, and I'm like, man, like, I, you know, I want that for myself, and I bet other people who are in my same shoes think the same thing. Like, it's okay to embrace that nerd side of us again. Like,
like I said, I'm the biggest kid there is out there, most people say, and it never ends, and you never have to give it up. It's there waiting for you, you know, enjoy it and love it for what it is, and just be happy. I mean, that's all it's about, is just enjoy yourself again, you know, whatever it be, you know, and, you know, definitely, you know, don't feel you're too old or it's too late. You know, you could definitely, I'm never going to stop playing D&D. I mean, I scratch build terrain. I'm building stuff for FitzMadrid, 98KUPD. I don't know if I'm allowed to do that, but, I built a whole bunch of stuff for him and all kinds of different people, you know, because we're all grown up nerds. And so what, you know, it's a blast. Right. It's great. I love what, honestly, I see as an upside for COVID, if you could ever say there is one, was that it did open up the world for the gaming and the kids online, because you had the ability, where I was, you had to be face-to-face. Now you can play across the country with each other. So, I mean, it's amazing the opportunity that has opened up for all of you and via this kind of media to interact with people. So, you know, it's fabulous. I mean, I just really envy what you guys have now, what we could have had then and done, you know. So
and you know, I'm a huge proponent for it's never too late to start anything. I'm a lifetime learner. I want to start a new hobby, and you know, my wife will accuse me of being a hobby collector, because I just keep finding new ones that I like, but
I'm guilty.
I'm a huge proponent of the fact that you can start anything whenever you want. But I also think, as a dad, right, because this podcast is dad-centric, we talk about dad life, I think having kids is a great excuse, right? If you
you've
never been able to push yourself across that line for whatever reason, it's usually social pressure, but sometimes it's a personal thing, or the culture that you're in, the family that you're in, whatever. Having a kid is a great excuse to be like, oh, I'm getting into cosplay because my daughter likes it. I'm going to start... you know, watching Disney movies, I'm going to start watching anime, I'm going to start, and this can go the other way, right? I'm going to start playing soccer because my kid is really into sports. I'm going to start watching football because I think my daughter is a big Steelers fan, you know, whatever that looks like. Just use it as an excuse, use it as your scapegoat, Because, you know, Randy, you talked about, you know, going to conventions and, you know, being able to kind of live vicariously through your kid that way. My wife and I joke all the time that one of the best things about having a toddler is that nobody looks at us weird when we go to playgrounds.
Absolutely.
Because I love running, jumping, climbing trees, sliding down slides, swinging on swings. But if you show up at a playground, like a neighborhood playground, as a 30-year-old with no kids and swing on the swing set, because it's really fun to swing on a swing set, you're not going to be allowed within 100 yards of a school zone pretty soon. but then, like, we have a kid, and now it's like, hey, babe, do you want to go to the park? I mean, hey, babe, Alana wants to go to the park. Do you want to come with us? And so I think that, you know, being able to reinvent yourself is one of the great things of being a dad. And then you can, you know, as we've said before, I want my kid to be better than me. I want my daughter to be more interesting and have more hobbies and be more global and cultured than I am. To do that, I need to pick up those things. And so I'm going to show her, hey, dad's getting into new hobbies. Dad is starting a new adventure, right? And it also gives you the awesome opportunity of failing in front of your kids, which is a whole nother great lesson to teach them, right? Because you're not going to be the best cosplayer at the convention. Your first poorly sewn, terribly foamed costume that you throw together. You're not going to be the best soccer player in your intramural dad league when you show up having never kicked a ball, right? Like, and that's a great lesson to teach your kids, is just have fun. Do the thing anyway. Fine. You don't have to be the best at it. And if you just keep doing it and you keep having fun, you'll get better and better. And maybe you'll be the best and maybe you won't be the best. You don't have to be the best at everything.
Yeah. Eventually you have to admit that, you know, like you said, like, you don't have to be the best. As kids, I have a, you know, an almost teenager. And he has that mindset, I have to be better than everyone. And like, I have that same mindset, and so I don't want to fail. And when I do, I'm like, God, I'm so terrible. But like, it's okay. Like you said, like, it's okay to fail. But admit you've made that failure and learn from that failure. I like that.
Yeah. No, I think it's awesome. And I think it's really important. And, you know, we've talked about the constant dichotomy of having your space, having space for with your kids, right? Being a dad and being, you know, Andrew Goody is an important thing to have. But I think sharing hobbies with your kids is really important. It is a really great bonding experience there, and can be both of those things, right? Because, you know, Randy, to use you as an example, Amber loves cosplay, and that kind of drug you in the door, and now you also love cosplay. But you do your own cosplays, and they're not all pieces to assist her. Sometimes you're just doing it for fun. And so you get that father-daughter moment of, you're having your time and she's doing her thing, but you're both able to share and bond over it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's awesome.
It's just something else you both have, like you said, to share and bond with, you know, being a board. I know it was so funny. I really wanted desperately for my son to love Star Wars like I do. And he, a couple of years, and then he was done with it, you know, and it's like, oh, but it's okay. All right, you don't have to love it as much as me. I still have all the cool autographs, so.
yeah, and that's a great point, that, you know, you can introduce a hobby to your kids, or your kids can introduce a hobby to you, and maybe you share it and bond over it, and you don't like it, or they don't like your hobby, and that in and of itself is a bonding experience, where you learn that you're your own person and they're their own person. And
yeah, then likes don't have to be the same. Yeah, no, absolutely. Like I said, I mean, my kids all love to play board games, but they're not like, they'll play, but I'll play all the time. You know, I'd play a 24/7 D&D
game. Yeah, there's different levels of that too, right? Because like I have friends who like to play board games that don't like to play D&D because of, you know, it's a different type of like Monopoly and Dungeons and Dragons are board games, but they're very different board games. And like, I know people who like playing deck builder games or playing like Magic the Gathering who don't like playing, you know, more traditional like Monopoly, Life, Battleship type board games. And the other way around, I know people who only play super intensive board games. You know, it's all the spectrum, and in the same way that it goes for sports, right? Not every soccer fan is a baseball fan, and not every football fan is a basketball fan.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and that's part of the learning that you do with your kids. You know, you find those things, and then when you find that one thing that you both enjoy or that you can run with, you know, there it is. You know, it could be simply reading. You know, you both are book lovers and love to read, so you could just kick back together and maybe not even read the same kind of material, but you know, it's a bonding still to be around doing something. You're sharing a moment, you know. So, and that's I always tell everybody, they'll ask me when I'm at work, they're like, oh, I hope you had a great day. I hope you know, I have a blessed day. I'm like, I am blessed. I have a fabulous family. I've had a wonderful life, not fabulous, but there's never been a day that life has kicked me so hard that that I ever said, this is, you know, that's it. No, whatever. It's just, it's always been, and maybe it's my outlook, but to me, there's nothing. It's just, I'm blessed. It's just been wonderful. You know, I love my kids. I love my wife. It's just been wonderful, regardless of the simple life that I lead or whatever it is. You know, I just truly enjoy what I have, I guess it would be. It's just, I'm not looking for too much, I guess, or, you know, I don't have high expectation. I just, what I have is enough, and I'm grateful for what I have.
Yeah. So. It goes back to that idea of not necessarily needing to be the best and to chase that next thing, right? But appreciating where you're at and having a good time, appreciating what you have and enjoying where you're at every step of the way. Whether that's showing up at your very first convention or getting a call from Marvel to go to LA tomorrow, right? The scale is dramatic, and you can enjoy every single step along that staircase.
It's been a ride, and it's been wonderful, you know, and I'm glad to have my children and my wife, and, you know, to share those moments. And I have to praise my wife for the many Comic-Cons that she's come to, because that is not her favorite thing, but she's there for us, you know. So, you know, a lot of praise in that. So, you know, all those moms out there willing to tag along.
For sure. I mean, I always say at the end of the day, I like to think that I am a very good dad, and it is because my wife is such an amazing mother and I am such a good listener that I know how to be such a good dad. but you know, that's part of support, right? Like we talked about, you know, not liking your kids' hobbies. If, you know, Tiffany is showing up for the kids, even though that's not her thing.
Yeah.
And now she gets the double dip of she's supporting Amber and she's supporting you.
Yeah. Well, and like right now, I'm actually trying to expand my artistic in building D&D terrain and things, and trying to see if I can generate an income like that and maybe get away from the real job aspect and be able to go back to the art field, you know, as a full time. So,
yeah. Hey, not that our platform is huge, but pitch us. I know that your business, do you have a website set up for your D&D stuff?
Not yet. I'm working with Amber, and this is new for me. You know, so it's Dungeons, Dragons, and Dad's Guys. that's my shtick. And I do just have an email right now, but we're trying to get her an actual shop page for all of her stuff and get her off Etsy so that she can do that. And then I'm going to have a whole D&D page attached with that. So, because I am of promoting her more than myself anyway. So I would rather it went towards her direction anyhow. You know, so, but, you know, I'm there, you know, and glad to help in any way, information wise, or make something for somebody. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, until you get your website set up, if anybody is watching this and wants amazing D&D terrain or minis or paint jobs or cosplay or props, because Randy does everything and he's very humble and won't say it, but he is phenomenal at it. It sounds like go follow Amber, or sorry, Amber Skies, on
Creations or cosplays. Creations is what she's running with now with her art.
Yeah.
So, but
Yeah, and
yeah, I mean,
if you
she's
Google Amber
one of the
Skies, her
top three
Instagram,
in
her
the world
Facebook
is
page, it's
Nebula
all
and the Guardians of the Galaxy. So she's definitely got some, you know, some looks out there. So.
for sure. So go follow her page. Go give some Randy some support. I'm sure if you DM Amber on any of her social medias, that you want some D&D minis from her dad, she will happily pass the message along and put you in touch with Dungeons and Dragons and Dad's guys to get all of your maker needs met.
I do believe I made you a Mind Flayer Zoidberg figure one time.
You did make me a Mind Flayer Zoidberg one time. It's great. I'll post it on our Instagram for our viewers. So go follow us at Proud of You Dads at or Proud of You Dads on Instagram, and we'll throw it up on the Twitter too. So
Yeah, put something up there, please.
awesome.
I'm curious because I want to see what this looks like, right?
Yeah.
I don't know the whole world. I told you a couple weeks ago that I wanted to get into it.
Yeah.
So like I'm curious about the whole world that you guys are discussing that obviously like I probably have this lost look on my face. but I'm curious about it. And there might be other dads who are or who are just starting into it who want to talk to guys like you.
If you ever imagined as a kid and played in your room by yourself with your G.I. Joes or whatever, it's the
That
same thing. It literally is. I mean, you're just sitting around a table with other people doing the exact same thing with you. You know,
was
you just
my
have fun.
childhood. My favorite description of especially fifth edition Dungeons and Dragons, because it is very role-playing based, the current generation of Dungeons and Dragons, for those of you who aren't super nerds like Randy and I. My favorite description of Dungeons and Dragons is it's you and a bunch of your friends sitting around a table pretending together, but one person has final veto on who pretends the best. Because your dungeon master is your rules lawyer who can tell you what is and isn't happening, but everybody's just imagining together and we agree to imagine the same thing.
I think the best D&D games are the ones that just have fun with it. You know, they're not strict to the rules. And if you come away just enjoying the moment, then that was the best game you can have, you know? Even if you if you don't. I've got a story where while I had my gaming store many years ago, we were playing a game called Deadlands, which is a wonderful Southwest Wild West undead game. I was a mad scientist, and we were fighting a werewolf on the top of this hill. And I went to light my flamethrower to put him down, and it misfired. I literally rolled, and in this case, in that game, a 20 was bad. I rolled three 20s in a row. So, and not only did I critically fail, being a mad scientist, I had 12, 13 rounds of fuel in the flamethrower to ignite. I also, after the fact, pointed out that I had 6 vials of nitroglycerin in my jacket. So the crater that was left and the game that ended that night, because I killed everyone, was fabulous. To this day is one of the best stories we can tell, you know, and it was an utter failure, but it's the greatest game I ever had.
Having fun is having fun. It doesn't have to be having fun successfully. That
Yeah,
is
true.
one of the lessons that I have taken away from going on 2 decades of D&D playing is you don't have to do it well to have fun doing it. Nice. Well, Randy, thank you so much for joining us on
Sure.
this episode. It's been an absolute blast hanging out with you, as it always is. Do you have any last words of dad wisdom, any sage advice for maybe new dads out there or dads who are struggling or dads whose daughters want to get into something like cosplay or you know, the
Don't
like.
Don't be afraid to dip your toes into what it is they're doing. Be a part of what they are. Even if it doesn't last and it's a little fad thing they fade through, support them. You know, be there for them so that you are there in case of, like you said, shady or whatever, they have you as support. They'll appreciate you for it, even if it's just being next to them and being part of it. They'll tell you, especially like yours, Derek, 13, you're at the no dad, you're embarrassing me days.
Yeah.
But they will tell you they're grateful for it. If not to your face, to somebody else, and it'll get back to you. I promise you. They do. Girls especially are kind of vicious to your face, but they have the big hearts for the dads and the moms. So, you know, it's enjoy the moment. They grow up too quickly. You know, and now
That's
I'm looking
true.
for I'm stealing other people's grandchildren, you know, so I have, you know, so, you
That
know.
is great advice, man. Well, thank you everybody for joining us this week. We are proud of you. You can follow us at Proud of You Dads on Instagram and Twitter. Email your questions over to proudofyoudads@gmail.com, or if you're watching this on YouTube, comment down below. We appreciate every single one of you for watching this show, for sharing it with your friends, with your family. We don't pay a single penny to advertise this show. It's all word of mouth. So the more dads that you share this with, the more people that we can reach, the better. We want to be a support group for the unheard dads, for the dads who are struggling, for the people who need somebody to tell them that it's okay to go to a convention or try a new hobby or hate a new hobby and do it anyway because they're supporting their kids.
Yeah.
So thank you all so much for everything you do for us. Let us know what you want to hear from us next. Until then, I'm Andrew Goody.
And I'm Derek Mata.
I'm Randy. Dad's
And
guy.
we are proud of you. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you guys for having me.